And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic back in the house here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Michelle, welcome back. How are you?
Doing well, guys. What a day to be back. It's good to be back, except my alarm going off this morning was a little early, but
yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm sure for you guys too it was.
Joe, how's it going? Long time no see.
I'm seeing spots. to quote the great Jeff Rudnick, my former co-worker at the Lansing State Journal, I'm having a great day. Jeff Rudnick used to say that all the time, no matter what.
That applies today. I think I got 4 hours of sleep. I think it ended up at about four. So not terrible.
Yeah, which is workable. And I know everybody's different, but that's like that's about the same with me. And that's functioning, you know, like that. I mean, it's not sustainable over days in a row. Right.
Yes.
But I can function that day. Like if you get under four, you know, that's where it's like, you never know. I mean, you never know. All bets are off on that next day, you know?
Well, honestly,
we'll see how this one goes.
I was about to say, honestly, all bets are off on what we could say here today on the program. So we'll find out.
Remember,
on that front,
first hour, there's no FCC, regulations in place. So we should let it rip here.
That's right. We really had to speed up the pre-show meeting today too. Instead of 2 hours, it was really only about an hour today. So
yeah,
not much going on.
We had to cancel. Yeah. You know, we had some analysts of ours that we were going to get on and talk about like next football season and stuff like that. And
Izzo's hour and 15 minute rant. Usually it got knocked down to 45 minutes today.
Exactly. Yeah. So those pre-show meetings, very important.
Let's just go right off the bat, go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and address something very important that our friend Rainey has brought up and that I saw him bring up last night on Twitter as well. Rainey texting in says, Joe, the jinx Rex Road, the world has seen enough. Replace him with Jared. This coming from Rainey on the text line. There was a point in the third period of the Predators game last night where Joe Rexrode tweeted, and I quote, the Grizzlies are going to do this. Preds too? ? And boy, that one was rough. Rainey at the time told you to delete this. You did not delete it. And what a result for those two last night after that tweet.
Well, you've ranted about how I have nothing to apologize for. Yeah. So, Now I would say of the two fan bases, the Grizzlies would have more beef. They were, I think, up 11 at the time. And I actually said they're going to do it. So, you know, I turned out to be wrong. I just asked if the Preds were going to do it. And actually, if we want to go on like cosmic impact of a tweet, I'm telling you, I hit send and it was like, I looked to the ice and there's Ekholm getting it to Forsberg. To give me, by the way, the Preds pick to click victory. Thank you very much, listener. Suck it, listener.
that was real clutch. Joe Rextro, the Preds pick to click champion for the 21-22 season.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
But so, it looked like my tweet made that goal happen. I mean, if you want to go with that, and then, you know, in all seriousness, it really did feel in the third period like the Avs just sort of like, oh, what's the score? Oh, come on. Okay, here we go. Boop, 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 boop. And then all of a sudden, all right, let's get out with a win. I mean, it wasn't that easy. The Preds, I thought, really deserve a lot of credit for the way they played last night. But in the end, it's just a much better team, put a couple goals on the board, and got out of town with the win.
Yeah, it was impressive. I mean, that was the first time all series long the Predators got a lead, which is incredible to think about that came in the third period of game four in a, you know, elimination game where that was the first time they had the lead the whole time. And then after that, there's the play on the tying goal to make it 3-3 where Duchesne's down the other way in the offensive zone and is on the forecheck and gets high stick right in the face. He's slow coming off because he got high sticked in the face. And the play goes down the other side, and Devontae's is wide open. I mean, there was no one within, you know, 5 feet of him on either direction, any team. He was all alone coming down the slot there, ties the game up, And then, Joe, I thought, and, you know, Jim Diamond and I kind of looked at each other in the press box on the goal that made it 4-3 Colorado. You know, Cale Makar makes a, you know, just a phenomenal play. That guy is unbelievable. Makes a phenomenal play to get the puck over. I think it was it Nichushkin that scored that goal? I think it was. Gets the puck over to him to score the goal. But I thought before that there was a chance that maybe the Colorado was offside and maybe the Predators would challenge it. They ultimately did not. And quite honestly, I've not seen a replay of that play since then, so I need to go back and look. But, you know, Lawrence Foligno and the Preds video team are generally pretty good at picking up offside. So my guess is if they were offside, they would have at least challenged it, which they did not on that play.
Yeah, I would think so too. I mean, they, usually when they're challenged, they're right. You would think that anything that they thought was, I mean, it was close, they would have gone after it in that moment. And yeah, you know, the tying goal could have been a high stick. I don't remember who it was, but it was in the face of Matt Duchene. So tough breaks there. Really good. You know, look, I thought really good game again by the Preds, and I thought really good atmosphere, actually. You know, it's funny because after they lost Saturday and you saw the empty seats, I was like, gosh, like, so what's an 8:30 Monday start going to be? But actually, I don't know. They pretty much filled the place, and it was good. And when the, especially, I mean, I think when the Preds, you know, got back into it a couple times, that, you know, they really turned the place on. You know, it was a good, I guess, last in the context of you just got swept for the first time in the history of your franchise. And this run everyone hoped would happen was cut as short as possible. It was, it was a good effort in the end, just not quite enough.
It was not quite enough. And the Predators, for the first time in team history, as Joe pointed out, are swept by the Colorado Avalanche. So some history made in a way that you don't want to make it last night at Bridgestone Arena. And Joe, I mean, really the constant theme was Colorado was just way better, and they can take it to a gear that the Predators just can't go to. And they did that again last night. I mean, I thought the Predators had some momentum even after the Forsberg goal. They had the next couple of shifts, they had some good looks. I thought they might make it, 4-2 at that point. And then it just kind of felt like Colorado looked up at the clock and they said, all right, well, it's time to play. And the difference maker in the series, you could point to a couple of different people. I mean, obviously Nathan MacKinnon was great and he scored in every game. He got the empty net goal last night as well. So MacKinnon is just an absolute load out there, and he's very difficult to stop. But the best player in the series was Cale Makar. I mean, he was unbelievable with what he was able to do. I think he scored 3 goals, 7 assists, so 10 points in 4 games in that series. And just, not only offensively, defensively, his ability to get back and to catch up. I mean, Forsberg had a step on him last night. I thought it was going to be a 2-on-1, and then all of a sudden I turn around and Cale Makar is like back facing it up. I was like, good gracious, how did he get back that quick? I mean, Cale Makar was unbelievable in that series.
Yeah, he's a cheat code. And if the Norris was decided after this series, it would go to him. Again, I think Yossi has a great case. I think they both have a great case where you can take these numbers and spin them. There's a way to spin them both guys' way. I don't think it's a wrong answer either way. Probably better if Yossi wins. I'm taking it away from like the Preds fan who obviously wants Yossi to win, but probably better for Yossi to win in general, because Makar is going to win about 5 of these before he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just he is absurdly good.
He is absurdly good. I will say, it was disappointing in his post-game comments to hear that apparently some Skittles were thrown at him on the ice. Let's stop throwing stuff on the ice. I even saw some fans throwing some towels on the ice last night. Keep your stuff in the crowd. Quit throwing stuff on the ice. It's ridiculous. We don't do that crap here. Stop doing that.
Yeah, that was disappointing. That's weak. It's like with anything. I mean, the Vols entire fan base got dragged on, I don't know, a few hundred people, mostly kids, right? Out of 100,000. So it happens. So this may have been one person, one, two people, whatever. But still, that's what happens. And then people talk about that. So don't do it.
Ben on the text line says,
also, you could hurt someone.
Well, there's that too. Ben on the text line says, what's the quickest way to get a player like that guy at forward? McKinnon is sick, and so many teams have guys like that at forward, but we aren't close. This coming from Ben on the text line. Well, the quickest way to get somebody like Nathan McKinnon is to be awful. That's how you do that, because that's what Colorado did.
Tank and hope that your tanking is well-timed.
Yeah.
You're saying you were talking about the number one pick this year, right? Which, of course, is irrelevant.
Yeah, Shane Wright. He's pretty good.
Yeah, Shane Wright. Yeah.
I don't know that he's Nathan McKinnon good, but he's pretty good. So that's the other, like, you got to time it up.
Look at the calendar and find who you want and then just tank. It's that simple.
Like, I don't know that I've seen NHL teams, other than a few exceptions, actively tank. Like Arizona this year, you can make an argument is actively tanked. And whether that's by personal choice or mismanagement, I don't know. But the McDavid-Eichel draft, I mean, there were teams. Buffalo was actively tanking. Edmonton was actively tanking. And then it came down to the draft lottery. So that's the other thing. Not only do you have to actively tank, you have to also then get lucky in the draft lottery that you get the number one pick. That's basically the process you have to go through.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, you can't count on that. You can't count on having a guy like that. But I agree with the sentiment. You look around the league, and there are a few of those guys, and your team doesn't have one.
Yeah, and Nathan McKinnon was unbelievable in this series, and Colorado gets it done in four games. Preds swept for the first time in team history. We'll take your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can go yard all May long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every single home run. I really like Vlad Guerrero Jr. of the Toronto Blue Jays. He can crush the ball, but you take it any way you want to take it. What are you waiting for? Just pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Just head on over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction to the Preds being swept for the first time in team history. Hit up our text lines and our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ben in Cumberland City texting in says, I'm different than most Preds fans and media. I think there's been some coaching decisions that need to be addressed, and the roster, except maybe a piece here or there, feel need to keep all the key pieces in Hines. It wasn't a terrible team, just a few adjustments. This coming from Ben from Cumberland City. So Ben, not panicking, wanted to kind of keep things as they are and let this team continue to grow on the text line.
Well, Ben, I think you've pretty much summed up what I expect Jared's message to be today on the show. So are you Jared, actually? By the way, I mean, Jared, just leave us alone on press row. My God. Bounce him out of there?
I was going to start recording. We could take Jared versus Joe and put that aside for the week and just have that version.
Well, speaking of recording, as I'm running out of the arena trying to cover my ears so I don't have to hear Scott Stapp sing, Max Hurst comes up there with his – I hope he doesn't post anything or got – I hope he got nothing of quality at all. But he was trying to, like, videotape me listening to Scott Stapp, and then he was, like, videotaping my feet to see if I was tapping them, which I wasn't, by the way. No tap to Scott Stapp.
I mean, I saw the video. I think there's some disputable evidence there. But that's
okay. Really?
Yeah.
That's disappointing that he actually showed anybody the video. But, yeah, you know, pretty much guaranteed L if you're going to have him play music in public for other humans.
Well, let me tell you this. Scott Stapp was unbelievable last night. I tweeted this out.
You didn't even listen to him. You were in the press room eating food. You weren't listening.
I was at first, and then I ran back in there. And I have a witness. Ask Brooks Brett. I was in there. So you do what you want to do. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to tolerate any Scott Stapp slander here today on the program. He was unbelievable. Did a great job last night.
I may rip him the entire show now.
Hair was looking great. Good stuff last night from Scott.
Okay. I mean, I will tell you that the flow is flowing. I'll admit that.
Obviously, today is very disappointing with Preds fans. And there was an aspect of this that I did kind of pay attention to last night from Will of Kentucky on the text line that we'll get to here in just a few minutes that I found to be interesting. But, you know, what did you make of some of the post-game comments? A lot of people, you know, saw your tweet from Ekholm last night in terms of, you know, 4-0 speaks loudly or whatever his quote was, and ran with that. And, you know, Yossi said after the game, he apparently was asked about how close the Predators are to competing with some of these other teams, and said, you know, you just saw it in the playoffs. Obviously, you know, it's 10 minutes after they get off the ice. There's some frustration boiling over last night, especially with veteran guys who, as Ekholm pointed out, you don't know really know how many more kicks of the can you're going to get at this when you start to be in this league for a while. What did you make of the reaction post-game from the Predators and the reaction post-game from John Hines as well, who seemed to be pretty frustrated after that game?
Well, yeah, well, there wasn't much. I mean, there wasn't much to it. But the Ekholm, I mean, I tweeted out a part of the quote, you know, that I could hear when he was talking. And essentially, so I tried to quote tweet it after that because people were running with it and people are still running with it. I mean, to me, the Ekholm message was the quote, the part of his quote that people got upset was, we played to the best of our capabilities. Yep. And I took that as in the two games, you know, in Nashville. I don't know, but I don't think that, I don't think that he thought that of the entire series. And maybe he was just speaking about last night, honestly, which I think was their best game for sure. I mean, last night was their best game for sure. We agree with that. I mean,
oh yeah,
five on five, you know, they were, you know, a lot better in both of those games. Obviously, you had the disaster of the penalty kill in game three. So I just thought last night you basically had that little stretch in the third period, you know, where the Avs get you a couple times and you're out of position. Which is unfortunate, but also a testament to them. I just took Ekholm. I mean, basically Ekholm was just giving tons of credit to the Avs, and good for him. I thought he was really good, and basically was like, you know, he singled out McKinnon and McCarr and just said they're, you know, unbelievable players. So I get that people don't like to hear that, but honestly, I mean, we know Matthias Ekholm. If anybody is going to come and be very frank and honest, it's Matthias Ekholm. Yep. And he's absolutely right. The Preds played well last night, and they gave it everything they had, and they lost, and they're just not nearly as good as Colorado. And he didn't come out and say that, but basically that's what he said, and it's true. I mean, who could possibly argue that there's a huge gap between these teams? And that goes to the Yossi quote you just mentioned, and I could hear very little of what he said in this terrible post-game setup. So – But that quote is exactly dead on too. I mean, there's a huge gap.
Well, there's a gigantic gap. And, you know, obviously you look at this Colorado team, we'll see what they do from here. They're going to take on the winner of Minnesota and St. Louis. It feels like they are geared up this year to make a special run, and we'll see what happens on that front. But we talked about this yesterday. I mean, when this series was over, whether it was going to be yesterday or whether it was going to be in game five, we knew that the Predators were not coming back to win four games in a row against that team. What did that kind of tell you about how far away they are? And Joe, now that it's done, I mean, it's, you know, I thought the Predators played well 5-on-5 in game three. I thought really the whole game last night, they played well. It just wasn't good enough. It tells me that there's a pretty gigantic gap, a chasm between them and the Colorado Avalanche. And, you know, is that gap the same with all the elite teams? No. Like, I think Colorado they may very well go on to win the cup this year. Like, you know, Calgary evened things up last night 2-2. The Predators are not that much worse than Calgary, I don't think. They're not four games in a series without winning one worse than Calgary. But it's one of those things where you got a firsthand look in this series of what it's going to take to be a team that is truly a cup contender. And I'm not talking, let's get in the playoffs, let's see what happens. Anything can happen in the playoffs, which we recognize that happens sometimes in this tournament. I'm talking every year, whatever you feel good about your chances to not only, you know, win some series in the playoffs, but to compete for a Stanley Cup. We got a firsthand look at that in this series against Colorado. And that's what the Predators are striving to get to. And they're a ways away from that right now.
Yeah, look, it's hard to look at this series and not think back to the last series the Preds won, which is against the same team, against the same core, by the way. And notice just the role reversal for sure, which means that one team went one direction, one team went the other direction. But also I would say, and we'll see where they end up, because as of now, the Avs have not done what the Preds even did the year before that, but I would say that the Avs right now are a more powerful, complete team, you know, than the Preds were even in 18 when the Avs were the young rising team. And so, yeah, look, I picked them to win it, and they may win it, and they may prove to be a little bit of a gap between them and everyone. I don't know. But that's what you're aspiring to be, or at least you got to be in that neighborhood. I mean, how many teams? So there's 16 teams in the playoffs. So how many of them entered the playoffs? Let me put it this way. How many of them who entered the playoffs are in sort of the same boat as the Preds, which is, I mean, let's be honest, kind of like happy to get in the playoffs, you know?
Well, the Kings definitely are in that category.
Yep.
Now they're tied 2-2 with Edmonton, so we'll see what happens there. You know, I look around the rest of the Eastern Conference.
You could make a case for most of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how that plays out. Like, you know, the Rangers, I'm kind of blown away that they're just getting absolutely canned in this series by Pittsburgh. I don't know that I'd put them in the category of, like, happy to be there because it's New York. But
well, they should be doing better than this.
They should be doing way better than this. I mean, they're getting just punked by Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, Boston and Carolina – that's the thing. Like, you look around at all the series. Let's just take a look at this. The games, by and large, in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far have sucked. Like, the individual games have not been good. There's been a ton of blowouts in this series. But every other series in the Western Conference is tied 2-2. And every other series in the Eastern Conference outside of the Rangers-Penguins is 2-2 as well. Like, it's hard to say it's competitive, because there have been just blowouts left and right. So each game is different. But you've got every series in the league right now is 2-2 except one, with the Predators getting swept and then the Rangers down 3-1 at Pittsburgh.
Right, and that is competitive. I mean, you're trading shots. Hopefully we're going to get more great games, but you're trading blows back and forth. I mean, even, you know, like Minnesota. I mean, they've did kind of a reset and it's worked out real. I mean, you could look at Minnesota or Edmonton and kind of think same thing as Kings, but they have those great players. They, right. You know, with them, it's almost the opposite thing. It's like, you know, you've got the absolute top shelf guys. You got two of them. So what can you put around them? Ken Holland has put more around them. So that's different than the Pred situation. I mean, you could look at Boston and say, okay, you know, they're on the maybe on the downside, but hey, they just won two in a row. So I can't sit here and say they couldn't make a run. I mean, I feel like Dallas is a team that also has really had its struggles and squeaked in. But for the most part, most of this field, you could make a case for these teams to win it. I don't think you could make really a case for the Preds to, especially with this matchup, you know, and that's another part of all this. And you know, the John Hines post game was very quick, but you know, that's another thing here is that the play of this team down the stretch, whatever it was. And he did not agree, you know, with like the fatigue factor, but whatever it was, it put them in this bad spot. And I'm not sure that they're not in a series with Calgary. Had they not blown the 4-0 lead to Arizona, I think they could have been in a series with Calgary.
So the Pred season is over. The Predators swept last night by the Colorado Avalanche, and there was a moment after the game that has captured the attention of a lot of Preds fans. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Very good song choice by Michelle. Philip Forsberg may be searching for a dollar. We'll get to that here in just a second. So, Joe, to that point, there's a video and multiple videos last night after the game kind of surfacing around of Philip Forsberg on the ice after the game that is garnering the attention of a lot of Preds fans out there. Now, for our purposes, for those who don't know, when the game, we're up in the press box, and when the game's over, usually as soon as that clock hits zero, I'm busting out of there to get downstairs to go set up interviews and get down by the locker room and all that stuff. So I didn't hang around last night for the Preds shaking the hands of the Avalanche, but there's all sorts of videos. I know on the forecheck put a video that's out there. You know, Kyle, who listens to our show, tweeted us a video last night of kind of the Predators after they go through the handshake line with Colorado. They put their sticks up and salute the crowd and, you know, kind of take a lap, thanking the fans for showing up for the season and all that stuff. And Forsberg is skating around, and as the whole team's going back to the bench, Forsberg kind of like continues his lap with the stick in the air, just looking up in the crowd, and he's kind of the last one to get off and goes straight in. And a lot of people on the Predators Twitter are taking that as like his farewell lap, his thank you to the fans. I'm probably going to be out of here lap after the game last night. Now, look, I've seen the video. It does look like he's taking his time a little bit. I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if he's thinking about the game and he's just kind of lost in no man's land there as he's skating around. I don't know. I have no clue what Philip Forsberg is thinking when he's doing this and he's, you know, kind of the last one on the ice waving around to the crowd. But I did have this thought go through my mind last night, Rex Road. Was that the last time that we will see Philip Forsberg in a Nashville Predators jersey? Obviously, we know that he's still unsigned heading into next year. We've talked about that a lot. What did you make of Forsberg's little lap that he took last night? And do you read anything into that as you sit here and look at the reaction to that today?
You know, I stayed up there and took a video too. We didn't mention my video. I guess my video wasn't good enough for you, I guess.
I thought you'd be too busy watching the Grizzlies and the Warriors last night.
That was streaming while I was taking the video. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get in the elevator yet because I want to watch the end of this Grizzlies-Warriors game, and I'm going to take a little video. And here's the thing. Philip Forsberg knows he might not be here, right?
Sure.
So if you're him, knowing that this could be the last, and we could all agree with that. He could agree with it. We don't know if he's going to sign here or not. So it could be the last time. So knowing that it could be the last time, that could be, in his mind, a just-in-case last look, right?
Could be.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a I'm out of here for sure last look. It could be a just-in-case last look. So look, at this point, and this, I don't know when this changed, but I think you and I have both been on the same page on, no, they're going to get it done. Well, at this point, I think it's less likely more likely than not that they don't. How many negatives is that? You know what I'm saying?
You got it right there.
Yeah. Thank you. That they don't get it done. So, I mean, I think now the odds on favorite for Philip Forsberg is the field as opposed to the Nashville Predators next year. So, but that was, I don't, whether this lap happened or not, that was the case. Now, of course, you can also think back to last year with Pecorine, which was not an official goodbye, and we didn't know for sure, and he was still deciding, but that certainly felt like one, right? This is definitely not that situation. But I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could read a little bit into it. I know Gover, you know, had a still photo of him kind of isolated and said that didn't look promising. So I wouldn't read too much into it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it gets later, like, confirmed, you know, as meaning something.
Well, I mean, you've now reached the point where you're through the playoffs. And I mean, Joe, we're almost 2 months away now from free agency opening up. So, I mean, really in the grand scheme of things, there's still time to get this done. But I guess my thought is you've had all season to get it done. Why is it not done? Like, I would think there would be, once you make the decision, if you're David Poile and the Predators, once you make the decision that you're not going to trade him at the deadline, like at that point, I would hope and I would assume that this probably happened, like that your talks get pretty aggressive. Like even leading up to the deadline, hey, we need to get this done. So we're going to put our best offer forward here and try to work this out. I know that they talked after the deadline as well. And David Poile talked about how, you know, they continued to have conversations, and probably once playoff time came around, those conversations would be put on pause and then resumed at the end of the whenever the Predators were out of the playoffs. But I guess my thought on that is, yes, there's still time to get it done. And I'm not saying that the Predators absolutely will not get a deal done with Philip Forsberg, but I would hope that talks got pretty aggressive by the trade deadline. And if it didn't work out then, well, is it going to work out now? I'm starting to have serious doubts about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have, you know, if you're David Poile, you have the leverage of the deadline before the deadline, and then you don't. So, it may be that, and I don't think this is the case, because I really do think that Philip Forsberg has wanted to be here, but, you know, at some point along the way during this process, maybe he's just decided that he just wants to be, maybe there is another place that he covets. I mean, people talking about Los Angeles, he'd reunite with Arvidsson. You know, it's not a bad team. It certainly would benefit from his presence.
It's not a bad team. It's not a bad situation. I think people are making way too much of the Victor Arvidsson part of it, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, a lot of people are talking about Edmonton. Wouldn't that be a nice compliment in Edmonton? To that, you know, I mean, a little bit different situations with those two spots, but and again, the advantage of the eighth year, you know, I thought would bridge the gap on money. Maybe trade protection is, I mean, the best case scenario to me for the Preds right now is sign him, but also don't give him trade protection, right? I mean, maybe that's just the sticking point. Should David Poile now just step over the line, whatever line he's drawn? Should he step over that line to get him signed?
Well, I mean, it depends on where the line is. Like, I mean, if he's asking for $11 million a year, then you just can't do that if you're the Predators. I mean, I understand, like, once the thought process of some, and it's interesting too how the thought process has now changed that he had one goal in this playoff series, because now there's like this small portion of the Preds fan base is like, let him walk. He's no good. Get him out of here. You don't need to pay him any more than the $6 million he's making right now, which I think most people would find absurd. But, you know, what is the line? And if you're David Poile, Have you not really come close to stepping over it yet? Because if you haven't, like, how much more motivated are you going to be to do it now? I don't know. It's just it's a weird kind of situation. I've talked about this several times. I do believe that Forsberg likes it here. I think he wants to be here. But then the other side of me is like, well, if that's the case, why is this deal not done? Like, somebody is holding out and doing a really impressive job of holding out here in terms of the offer to get the deal done, because obviously there's still a gap. And I've said this many times, I'm really surprised that this hasn't already been done to this point.
Yeah. And look, it's, if he ends up walking, yes, there's, so now you have more money to go do things. I mean, you can try to just go fill that void and kind of proceed with your core here and hope that you're better next year. But more likely, you lose number 9 and you are not a playoff team next year.
Wouldn't think so.
Does that trigger more dramatic moves in terms of I mean, look, I would agree that Yossi's – who was on the untouchable list last year? We talked about this a lot.
Yossi and Forsberg.
Yeah. Well, if one of them goes – I mean, again, hey, it's hot take first hour of the show, okay? If you want to get assets for someone right now at 31 years old and you want to redo things, well, Roman Yossi would fetch some assets. I'm not advocating for them to trade Roman Yossi, but what I'm saying is if you lose Forsberg, a dramatic shift to start over is on the table. I mean, I also think, you know, you'd like to retain some great players if you have some great players under contract, right? But how do you really rebuild? In some cases, it is getting picks and prospects and actually rebuilding.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. Also get to a really interesting piece from Adam Vingan in the aftermath of the game last night regarding Preds ownership. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Preds on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Bob from Antioch who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. If they had played Calgary with Sarahs, I don't think that they would have won. They may have been lucky to maybe push it to six games, and then everybody, I think, would have felt like they felt last year after they played Carolina, you know, hard fought, decent representation, et cetera. But my question is, do you think in terms of just the overall future of the franchise, do you think it was better that they just got shellacked by Colorado and all of their shortcomings were exposed, or you think it would have been better to have had a little bit of, I guess, false optimism because the weaknesses would have been a little bit covered up because Calgary's not quite what Colorado is?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, that's an interesting question that I've thought about, and I know Jared brought this up a few times yesterday on his show of, is it better if you're the Predators and you want to see them get to the point where they're a Stanley Cup contender? Is it better maybe to take your lumps against Colorado? And maybe that forces something different to happen. Now, it's interesting because if you ask different Predators fans, you get different answers. And the Predators players and John Hines immediately went to this a couple of times in their post-game press conference last night, which I knew that they would. And that was nobody picked us. Nobody picked us to finish into the playoffs. We were picked to finish seventh in the Central Division, and that happened pretty quickly last
year. Yeah, which is irrelevant at this point, by the way. I mean, we've gotten to that point. And, you know, like we already know, you guys got in the playoffs. No one picked you. Actually, some people did pick you.
You did.
Let me clear my throat. There were some few people. But regardless, that's just it means nothing at this point. And it's a great question by Bob.
It is. And and the answer to that question is, okay, well, what are they going to do about it now? Because, I mean, if we talked about this yesterday too, like I don't think John Hines needs to be fired. I think John Hines has done a good job. I'm interested to see, you know, does anything happen with David Poile this offseason? My guess is no, probably not. Nothing happens with David Poile, and it's going to be Poile and Hines coming back next year. But if you lose Forsberg, like, is that in the long term good for the franchise? I don't think so. Like, I think he's probably a guy that you want to have around. And I know that he didn't have a great playoff series. The guy just scored 42 goals in the regular season, and he's been your best forward you've ever had in the history of the franchise. Like, you know, that's a guy that you want to keep around. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what the next step for the Predators is from here beyond the Forsberg situation, because obviously that's priority number one now if you're David Poile, is to get that figured out. I don't know what the next step beyond that is. And, Joe, it was interesting. Adam Vingan came out with a really fascinating piece last night, really in the immediate aftermath of the game, talking about Preds ownership. And the title on The Athletic was, Predators ownership can no longer stay silent about the direction of the franchise. And we know this year the Predators have an ownership group, and they've not been very vocal in terms of their thoughts. We talked about this last year when the Predators were really struggling in the first half of the year and people were wondering, all right, is John Hines' job in jeopardy? Is David Poile's job in jeopardy? Who's in charge of answering for that? And basically, you know, Vingan had an interview with Sean Henry last year, and he was the one that spoke on behalf of ownership. You know, Adam put together an article last night that basically says that's not good enough anymore. There needs to be somebody from ownership, the actual ownership group, that speaks on the direction of the franchise, speaks on David Poile and John Hines and the direction that the Predators are in and how close they are to being a cup contender. What do you think of all that with the ownership group and the piece that Vingan put together last night?
Yeah, well, I think he's exactly right. And look, we talked about this, like you said, last season when it looked like they were really headed for maybe a serious reset. And again, David Poile's job, part of that discussion. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think now, I think you're probably right. Like if I had to make a guess right now, it's that Poile and Hines are back. I think you and I both agree on Hines. I mean, Hines has had a good tenure, maybe not great. You know, I have no idea if he's ever going to be a Stanley Cup winning coach someday. You can nitpick things for sure. But I think if you have watched the last couple of years of Preds hockey and your takeaway is Hines is the one who's got to go, I think you're incredibly misguided. I think that you're missing that this team isn't good enough. And again, we just saw this team get swept out of the playoffs, like getting flicked like a bug on someone's shoulder by a team that's much better. A team, by the way, that had the first two 40-goal scorers in its history, had a historic season from a possible Norris winner, had a goalie who is going to be a Vezina finalist, had the rookie leader in goals, and still that's the outcome. So it's just not a good enough team. And I think some of those achievements I just mentioned, you can give Hines a pretty fair chunk of the credit for that. So, again, to Bob's question, is it good? Is it good that there's this kind of like this, I guess, humiliation, you know, this domination? Does that make it more likely? All I know is I totally agree with Adam that like someone's got to speak here. I know it's a unique situation, but it shouldn't be Sean Henry speaking for the ownership group, the CEO and president. It should be someone who owns a stake in the team speaking for the ownership group to the fans. Herb Fritsch, you know, Adam wrote about him. You know, he sits down in the, and he's the, you know, he would be, I guess, the guy. I mean, the only time I know about ownership speaking, I had a one-on-one interview with Tom Cigaron back in the 2017 Stanley Cup final at like the hotel in Pittsburgh during the Stanley Cup final. But again, and I mean, there may have been other situations. That's all I know over the last few years, but that was also during the best of times, right? I mean, that was them in the Stanley Cup final. So everybody wanted to talk about things then, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's when things are great. Well, when things are not great, it's kind of like Mike Vrabel says about culture. You know, that's when you find out about things. And I think we're long past. And again, if it's just, hey, we have full belief in David Poile and everybody gets mad about it. Okay, well, you know what? Then that's fine. At least you said something. Like there's got to be some kind of a voice for the ownership group here.
Well, and we talked about this with Amy Adams Strunk and the Adams family. And it's a different situation. I fully recognize that. So it's not apples to apples in terms of the Titans and the Preds and their ownership situation. But before Amy Adams Strunk really stepped up and, you know, took charge of the ownership group, there was a period there with the Titans where you didn't know. I mean, you never heard from them. I mean, Tommy Smith was in charge and you had Ken Wisenhunt in here, and there was just Steve Underwood was basically speaking for ownership group. And there was nothing that you felt connected about, and you felt like the owners, you know, they didn't live here. I mean, you just didn't even know. And that's not the case with the Predators ownership group. As you mentioned, Herb Fritsch is a guy that sits in the lower bowl for the game. So it's a different situation. It's a group rather than just one family that's involved in this. So it's not the same, but I agree. Like, it'd be nice to hear from Predators ownership at some point. And I don't expect them, if they did talk, like, I don't think they're going to go into a whole lot of detail of like their thought process behind things. I do think that they like David Poile. I think that they trust David Poile. And I think if they came out and said that, there's a lot of Predators fans that are going to get mad about that. That's what I believe that they do. Like, I believe they trust David Poile. So I know there's going to be a lot of people, and we've already gotten it on our text line today, talking about Hines needs to be gone and Poile needs to be gone and all those things. I just don't believe that's going to happen at this point. And then the question is, well, what does that mean for the future of the franchise?
Yeah. And, you know, kind of going back to Bob's question and going back to the last segment, yeah, I'm not advocating for trading Roman Josi. I think the Preds should keep, you know, I think the Preds should still keep their.
Well, he'd have to approve it anyway, but yeah.
That's right. Now, does he have full though?
His is full,
yeah. And Duchesne's is partial. Now, there's another player right now. You could look at Duchesne's value and his age and say, well, when are you ever going to get more? But, I mean, look, if not, then Josi, Duchesne, Johansson, this core you have, which is good enough to get in the playoffs, then, you know, if you lose Forsberg, then isn't the answer then that you have to go out and absolutely try to compensate and spend and try to take advantage of this? It is a window with these guys, with Ekholm, who you just signed to a big deal too. And this is the bind they're in, because I don't know what, you know, what you're going to do to add to this to make it good enough. There are things we don't know, such as young players and how much better they may get in the next couple of years, right? But, like, there's probably a longer timeline with some of them, whereas your best players right now are in a pretty short timeline. And that's why, to me, you could say as a Preds fan, let him walk. You don't want Philip Forsberg to walk. If you want your team to be competitive the next few years and have any chance, I think number 9's got to be part of it.
Well, and we talked about this yesterday, but it's so difficult to line up the growth of your young players and getting them to a point where they're good enough by the time that your veteran guys are still this good, right? Like, can you get Philip Tomasino and Tanner Janot and Luke Evangelista coming up through the pipeline? And you had a couple of first-round picks last year coming up through the pipeline. Like, can all those guys come in here and be good while Duchesne's still good? If you sign Forsberg, while he's still good, while Yossi's still at this level. If you can, then maybe you've got something there. But that's really difficult to line up there from that timeline. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Where do the Nashville Predators go from here? We'll take your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. Make every day a good old day with a hand crank taste of Bluebell ice cream. The weather is getting warmer. I'm going to be outside cutting some grass today, and the idea of some Bluebell ice cream sounds amazing. The good old days are being made right now. Go get your Bluebell ice cream. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.